Hello and welcome to Right Through Now, the podcast that helps you stay connected with international news, science and technology, and fun stuff. All right, let's begin. So apparently a Chinese rocket, well, at least the debris of it, is expected to crash into Earth this weekend. You don't hear that every day. Debris from a Chinese rocket is expected to fall back to Earth in an uncontrolled re-entry this weekend. It isn't clear where and when exactly the rocket parts will crash onto the surface. The Long March 5B rocket was launched in late April to carry the first module of China's future space station into orbit. The body of the rocket is currently circling Earth, but about to enter the lower atmosphere. The US on Thursday said it was watching the path of the object, but currently had no plans to shoot it down. We're hopeful that it will land in a place where it won't harm anybody, US Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said. Hopefully in the ocean or someplace like that. That sounds kind of vague. He also indirectly criticized China, saying there was a need to make sure that we take those kinds of things into consideration as we plan and conduct our operations. You know, the funny thing is, well, I'm not sure if it's your type of humor, but it's observationally funny to me, that Chinese state media was making fun of India's COVID situation, literally comparing images of India with pyres burning, and on the other hand, China sending rockets into space, and yet here we are, not that much later. Which is super ironic considering the Chinese mishandling of the entire coronavirus ordeal. I mean, had we known in the beginning, had Chinese authorities admitted in the beginning that there was a problem, I think we could have had a rapid control of this epidemic that fast became a pandemic. I mean, we would have controlled it in the first couple of months, in fact, had the Chinese authorities just been honest enough to say, hey, you know what, we fucked up, something happened. But no, here we are. In more uplifting news, SpaceX sticks the landing in latest Starship test flight. After multiple explosive endings to previous high-altitude tests, a prototype rocket for voyages to the Moon and Mars finally touched down safely. I have to say, it does feel like everything this guy touches just turns into gold. But this is literally rocket science. The stainless steel SN15, serial number 15, lifted off from SpaceX's Starbase test site near the South Texas village of Boca Chica. God, I love that name. Today at 6:24 p.m. EST. This is a couple of days old. Near the South Texas village, it soared about 6.2 miles into the sky, performed a number of maneuvers, and came back down for a safe touchdown at its designated concrete landing pad 6 minutes after takeoff. This last bit broke new ground. The SN-15's four immediate predecessors all ended up in pieces after attempting similar flights over the past 5 months, in each case notching pretty much every milestone except soft landing. I am excited about the future of, you know, manned space travel. That sounds like fun. I'm not sure if I'm going to be one of the first 1,000 people to go on this voyage. And I'm pretty sure at least some minor problems are going to arise at least within that first 1,000. I mean, it has to, right? I mean, look at the statistics of how many rockets successfully are able to do soft landings. Currently, that's not a very high track record. But, you know, the human spirit is that of pioneers. And I think we'll work the kinks out of the system. So, 1,001st person to go to space. Maybe that could be me. Okay. So, Epic needs to tarnish Apple's App Store halo. At the beginning of this week, this week's Epic versus Apple trial, Apple described Epic's lawsuit as an assault on the entire iOS philosophy. One of the iPhones and iPads' defining features is a curated ecosystem. A loss for Apple could require to allow sideloaded apps and alternative app stores, potentially including Epic's own Epic Games Store. Apple says that would damage the privacy and security that iOS is known for, making Apple send more money to fix new problems that crop up. Epic spent the fourth day of trial offering its counter-narrative. The iOS App Store isn't actually very good. Calling two Apple executives to the stand, Epic's attorney took jabs at everything from the update review process to Apple allegedly leaking Marshmello's Fortnite concert playlist. They pushed Apple to justify its claims about privacy and security by producing hard research, demonstrating threats and breaches, which Apple largely didn't do. Epic is making the case that the App Store just isn't very good. After a short examination of Epic's online business strategy head, Thomas Ko, Epic called on Matt Fisher, App Store Vice President and the first witness employee from Apple. Epic's attorney peppered Fisher with anecdotes from frustrated developers calling the iOS in-app payment system a joke. The refund policy is awful, the review process arbitrary and unpredictable, and the entire store plagued with outdated low-quality apps. Actually, that's why I use Android, but you may have a slightly different opinion. That's okay to have a different opinion. I mean, you're wrong, but it's okay to be wrong, I guess, maybe. You know my opinion on this. Apple make fantastic iPads. The iPad is one of the greatest devices ever created. I'm going to say that, hand on heart. MacBook Pros are exceptional devices. I still have one from 2012 that I still use actively. And it's a good machine. I like using it. iPhones, I don't know. I know people are like furious about this opinion that that people completely dislike Apple's philosophy when it comes to phones, but everything else, I don't know. I'm trying to be an independent adjudicator. All right, what's next? Okay, so I always assume that 1% of the human population is fucking stupid. Excuse my use of French there. Apparently it's 4%. An ongoing analysis of Apple's App Store tracking transparency tool claims 96% of users in the US are opting out of the ad tracking feature, which launched in April. According to Flurry Analytics, which has been tracking daily opt-in and opt-out rates following the launch of iOS 14.5 late last month, roughly 4% of daily users in the US are allowing apps access to their identifier for advertisers tag, which is the IDFA. The figure is based on a sampling of 2.5 million daily mobile active users. Rates increase when taking other countries into account, with some 11% of 5.3 million daily users opting in to ad tracking worldwide. To be clear, I'm not saying that I am intelligent and 4% or 11% in this case are stupid. I'm a different kind of stupid in a lot of different genres. Just happen to be slightly more alert about this. So, this is incredible. You know, I am pretty sure that Apple has some incendiary, you know, inside motives that motivate them to create this kind of a narrative that, oh, Apples are now the defenders of privacy, the crusaders against social media companies trying to take charge of our lives. I'm 100% sure that they have something to benefit from this, other than the pure marketing sales and the whatever conversation that they're trying to start off. There has to be some backstory behind all of this. But at the same time, when this opportunity is there, fucking take it. Protect your data. This is a no-brainer. I don't know. I don't understand the world sometimes. This is one of the instances. Why would you deliberately want to be tracked? Insane. Okay, so Pfizer and BioNTech to donate vaccines for Olympic athletes. That's interesting. Delivery of doses is set to begin this month to give Olympic delegations time to be fully vaccinated before arriving in Tokyo for the Games, which open July 23rd. I can't believe that this whole thing is still going on, to be honest. But maybe this is for the best of the world, that important events, because the Olympics happens for everybody in the world. It's just a little unfair that these sporting competitions get to go on, but most of music is shut down. Most of film is shut down. So many different avenues are shut down. But the Olympics, somehow that is a reputable endeavor that humankind does, but everything else isn't. I don't know. I don't get it. Okay, 70% of people live in countries without sustainable resources. Almost three quarters of people live in countries without enough natural resources to live sustainably and without enough money to buy resources from elsewhere. This is one of those staggering symptoms of human stupidity again. The fact that we're not able to unlock the simple formula, produce more than you consume. Our natural resources are declining at a rapid rate. We've known this for a couple of hundred years, at least since 100 years. And so far, our inaction on this is just incredible. It's ridiculous. But here we are continuing to, yeah, in spite of a global pandemic, we largely ignore natural resources. Hardly any efforts are being made to preserve coral reef, although there is potentially some news coming around the corner in that regard. So hopefully we are at least able to protect the coral reef. But that still doesn't bode well for the rest of the environment that we're chewing through literally at this point. Okay, Saharan dust could increase the risk of avalanches in the French Alps. A couple of episodes ago, I mentioned a bizarre day here in Stuttgart, Germany, where spontaneously it started to become yellow. The entire outside world became yellow. And I spontaneously walked into the balcony and recognized that the entire balcony floor had become stained with something ridiculously yellow. It was just very odd and kind of bizarre. And not making much of it, I thought, hey, I'm not sure. Maybe it just became very pollinated or something. Wasn't the right season for it, but couldn't understand, but still moved on for the rest of my day. Went outside to get groceries, and that was a mistake, because when I got outside, as you can imagine, I was wearing black clothes, and it was completely spotted with something yellow. And I just couldn't fully grasp what the hell it was. Until that evening when I read the news and I realized that that was actually Sahara Desert rain coming down, literally. So it basically was a large storm that propped up a lot of dust, a ton of dust from the Sahara Desert, and it just rained desert dust onto South Germany that day. Apparently that had impact on France as well. It looks like they're talking about the same day. So this Saharan dust has been blamed for everything from rain leaving marks on windows in the UK to potentially having a role in melting sea ice in the Arctic. Now it seems the dust could even play a part in making avalanches more likely in Europe. The dust has regularly turned skies above the French mountains a dramatic orange, with a recent episode in February adding sand to ski slopes and making the landscapes look more like Mars than the Alps. That seems like the exact time that I had the issue. The first 1 billion COVID vaccines have been given. You know, one of the really weird thing is there is this small island called the Seychelles. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. And a large part of the population in that island was vaccinated, but still, there was a rapid surge in coronavirus cases. So, what benefit long term are these vaccines going to give us is still unclear. If you thought that they were completely going to eradicate lockdowns, apparently not. I mean, it could be that when the vaccination numbers go up to 100% that this thing changes. But so far, at least from that one isolated sample, it doesn't look like lockdowns are going to go away as quickly as we all hoped that they would. If you're an introvert, this is the greatest time in your life, I guess. But if you like going outside, if you like traveling, this is a nightmare. This is a year-long nightmare, longer already. We will see. So, wood burners. Sale of coal and wet wood restricted in England. That's a good move. Owners of wood burners and open fires will need to burn cleaner alternatives as new rules come into force. Well, there are new alternatives actually now, biofuels that are much more efficient than burning wood and coal. That's a good avenue, and hopefully this sort of stuff, innovation in this sector also continues to produce richer, more diverse fuels that harm the environment a little bit less, because this is a need that is not going to go away anytime soon. I mean, in spite of climate change and its misleading global warming title, there are going to be colder days. Winter's going to get colder, summer's going to get hotter. That fluctuation is going to increase. So there have to be alternatives. And hopefully there will be more innovation and bringing more alternatives into this game in the first place. Indigenous people may have left the Amazon before Europeans arrived. Fossil pollen records show a surge of regrowth in forests of the Amazon basin 300 to 600 years before Europeans arrived, suggesting indigenous people may have left the region. You know, another interesting component of this entire story is that, and at this point I should clarify that this probably isn't the cutting edge latest information on science. I haven't really kept up with that dimension of science, but there was speculation that I heard a couple of years ago, at least, that it was expected, based on empirical evidence, that there were people living, the cities the size of London existed in the Amazon. And they were using several techniques. 3D scanning was one of them. Laser-based 3D scanning was one of them. And they were able to pinpoint structures that were man-made. Cities the size of London in the Amazon. Just imagine that. And currently, there's just no trace of it. It could be that when Europeans came, they brought some sort of disease that basically eradicated an entire population. That's possible. But there isn't concrete information about that, at least as far as I know, but I could be wrong. Maybe I'll do some more research and bring you more news on this in coming episodes. Crew 1, astronauts safely splashed down after space station mission. 4 astronauts splashed down safely in the Gulf of Mexico last Sunday, completing NASA's first commercial crew long-duration mission aboard the International Space Station. The return comes nearly 6 months after the crew members arrived at the microgravity laboratory and also marks the longest duration mission of a crewed American spacecraft to date. That is super cool and consistent with my ideas that the space race is completely fully on, which is just fantastic. Your finger can feel the change of a single atom in a material. It blows my mind how good the human senses are. The human fingertip can distinguish between materials that have minuscule chemical differences, even a substitution as small as a single atom. Generally, what we feel with our fingers are physical bumps in a material surface structure. Charles Dong at the University of Delaware and his colleagues set out to find whether it would be possible to feel a chemical difference in which the internal molecular structure of two materials slightly vary, but their surfaces are equally smooth. I am just fascinated by human senses. A couple of years ago when I was studying psychoacoustics and the science of sound and audio in the Technical University of Ilmenau, shout out to Thüringen, I found out about the incredible nature of human hearing. So most sound that you heard is recorded at several samples per second, right? So most audio files are recorded at something near 44,000 samples per second. And the human hearing is so sensitive that if one sample out of those 44,000, even 96,000 samples, that is one of the sampling rates commonly used in studios, even then, the human hearing is so incredible that it's able to pick that out and identify that one missing sample out of 44, or even 96,000 per second. That's just incredible resolution. And this just goes to show this bit of information from our fingers' ability to feel the change of a single atom in a material goes to show how high the resolution of our senses is in different aspects. It's pretty incredible. Let's see what else is going on. So NASA's Ingenuity helicopter has made its fourth and furthest flight. The Ingenuity helicopter has made its fourth flight on Mars, the furthest and fastest it's traveled so far, and its mission has been extended to allow more tests, which is just fascinating. So apparently it's going to scout ahead and find interesting scientific avenues that the rover can then explore. So let me see if there's a statement. There is. Okay, so now we have a chance to demonstrate for future robotic and even crewed missions the benefits of having a partner nearby that can provide a different perspective, one from the sky, said Mimi Ong at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, California, in a statement. We are going to take this opportunity and run with it and fly with it. That's pretty incredible. I love how NASA extends the mission life of these things because the Voyager series has still, you know, it's still sending data now. They had like a proposed time of, what was it? I think 5 years or something ridiculously small like that. And here we are like more than 40 years later, still happily receiving data from outside the solar system. Absolutely incredible stuff. All right, well, that right about rounds it up for me. Thank you so very much for listening in, and until next time, see you later. Take care. Ciao.